Hello, everybody. Well, thanks to Pastor Edwin once again for granting me the opportunity to preach. This is the 9th sermon, and I've not been kicked out yet. So can we just come before the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we're gathered here together today, Lord, to learn from you, for Lord, you are meek. And Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, use me to, Lord, speak forth your word. And Lord, may the hearers have the heart of the good ground to receive it. And Lord, may we be blessed and encouraged, Lord, in you. And we commit ourselves in Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to begin by just quoting John Wesley, who was born in 1703. And John Wesley, about the scriptures, says this: I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach me the way. For this very end he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. And John Wesley, as we know, was a very learned man and many books. But he says, this is knowledge enough for me, the way of life. So we're coming to come to the scripture of Matthew chapter 5, verses 5, which is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I want to go through this and bit by bit and look at it and what the scriptures say. And of course, with any scripture, when you start looking into it, you start discovering topics leading on to topics. And before you know it, you could come with, 40 pages of scriptures, which, of course, I haven't done that. But I was thinking, it says, blessed are the meek. Now, blessed. I was sitting down and I was thinking, well, what's blessed? What's it mean by blessed? And, of course, you know, like it has been said, it means happy, but there's more to it than that. And I believe the Lord gave me a wonderful revelation on this. Blessed is to be in favor with God. To be in favor with God. So whatever he does, whether he blesses us in our food and drink as we enjoy, a roof over our heads, because we take these things for granted often, don't we? A car that we can get to church even without walking, and where in a lot of countries they have to walk to church, and some even walking miles. But we have all these things. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 28 to the end of 31, it says this: And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So not only was Mary favoured, she was highly favoured. She was blessed among women. And so we see that to be blessed is to be in favour with God. And isn't that a wonderful thought? When he blesses you, we're in favour with God. And of course, on the one hand, being blessed by God doesn't necessarily mean you're in right standing with him. But on the other hand, it is an evidence that you're in right standing with God, because he brings the rain down on the righteous and on the wicked. So the blessings, God is graceful and he blesses. But being blessed by God when we have faith in Christ is a very good place to be, because to be favoured in God's favour. So the meek, who are the meek? Well, it says in Psalm 37, verse 11, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And then in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." And then, of course, the perfect example of being meek is Jesus himself. And Jesus would never ask us to be something that Jesus isn't himself. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." There's that rest again. And of course, what do we rest from? Well, ultimately, from slavery to sin. Because Israel were brought out of slavery to Egypt. And of course, if we're not in Christ, we are indeed enslaved to our own sins, aren't we? That sinful nature which is within us. So we have to humble ourselves. And Jesus again says in Matthew 21 verse 5, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitteth upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." And that's, of course, quoting Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. And then Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you." So we see that Jesus is meek. So anything spoken of in the scriptures, Jesus is always a perfect example in the one who we follow. Now meekness is also in the fruit of the Spirit, because to be like Jesus, we've got to have the Holy Spirit within us. And it says in Galatians chapter 5, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So we see that by receiving the Holy Spirit, you've got those nine characteristics there. One of them is meekness. And I think that's wonderful, because like Pastor Peter said last week, I think it was, that the world will very often say the opposite. You must be confident, you must do well, you must be successful, and you must get into, be high in this world and gain to high levels. But because the world is, we're all born in sin, natural sin of man, we tend always to the opposite things of God. So the things that God desires, we hate. And the thing that God hates, we love. So this meekness, true meekness, "the meek shall inherit the earth," is a grace of God in itself, which is given to us when we have his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so meekness is something we should pray for, as well as having the gifts of the Spirit, that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in looking at another aspect, we have instruction. There's a lot of scriptures here. I didn't know which ones to choose. But I looked through this, and Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Meekness is important not only with our relationship with God, but it's also important our relationship with each other. Because if we're not walking in humility and in meekness, then we won't relate right with each other. So it's very practical. In Colossians chapter 3, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And here it is again, this relationship, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And of course, when we come round to have the bread and wine, that's one of the important reasons why we have to examine ourselves, because if we're holding unforgiveness against somebody, then that puts us into a wrong relationship with God. Because Jesus said that if we don't forgive, then our Heavenly Father will treat us the same. So we must always forgive. And so our relationship with each other and our relationship with the Lord is all tied in, because we are his body. So this meekness, having meekness, I never realised how important it is. In fact, this has been a sermon as much for me as it is for anybody. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So there's people who are taken captive by the devil. And the truth of it is, it not only cannot be outside of the church, but in the church as well. And we need to watch ourselves, firstly, that we don't fall. Because how can we help a neighbour if we don't first take out the log that is in our own eye? And again, it's self-examination and being meek. And always remembering, you see, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So it gives us a good idea, a description of what it is to be meek. And of course, I've got one here, dare I read out, in 1 Peter chapter 3, which is instruction for wives. And it says, now I'm ready to run out of the door any minute. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold, in other words, while the husbands, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be of the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, now get this, which is in the sight of God of great price. So, meekness even in marriage is an importance. And especially if, because I mean, not that I've got much experience, but I know that when you've got a couple and they're married, and one believes and one doesn't, it can be a difficult situation to be in, because you've got that tension. You're unequally yoked, as it says in the scriptures. And so it's an encouragement, because a wife can win her husband, possibly, to Christ by this quality of meekness, being meek. And it even says, without the word. So I think that's an incredible incentive, especially in a time where we're living, where there's a great pressure on women to sort of be Well, there's a strong feminist sort of influence, isn't it, in the world now, which is pushing its ideal upon the church. And that is destructive to relationships and how God blesses it. And so that is a blessing which is probably lost in a lot of relationships, where you could win a lost husband to the Lord. And so going on, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Now this word inherit, I'm really looking forward to sharing this, because I have a wonderful, I believe, insight on the scriptures on this. And we'll come to that in a moment. But in Luke chapter 19, Jesus talks about a certain nobleman, and he gives his servants 10 pounds and then leaves. And then he returns to see how much they've gained by trading. Now, because I'm not going to read it all because it's quite long, but in verses 15 to 17, it says this. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So when Jesus comes back, because we're talking, aren't we, here about in the context of the kingdom, when Jesus comes back and he's reigning in Israel, and it says he'll sit on the throne of David, there will be people ruling, having authority over cities. Now that could be anybody in here. The Lord might assign you to having authority over a city, 2 cities, 10 cities. And that all depends upon how faithful we are to him in this life, with what kind of reward he'll give us. And of course, here we're speaking about the reward of inheritance. So the meek will have this sort of authority. The meek, those Jesus says, and it says in the Psalms, well, it says in James here, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's wonderful. So if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he will lift us up. And I bet there'll be many surprises on the day when Jesus comes back, a very meek people who will be given that sort of authority because they've been faithful in little things in this life. And where the many who walk in pride, and I know that's an easy thing to do. As I say, this sermon has been much of a sermon to me as it is to anybody. And it's a real learning curve to realise meekness, which is a great price before the Lord. And then in Colossians, it goes on to say, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And here is an amazing insight, I thought, is it says it's the earth that the meek will inherit. They will inherit the earth. Now, the word earth is what God gave to the dry land. That's what he called the dry land. And in Genesis chapter 1, 9 and 10, we read, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, what's significant about that? The dry land is called earth. And this has always puzzled me. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." That's a lot of inheritance. They won't just inherit the earth while we see it now with water. There'll be no sea. So the inheritance of the meek, they've really got something coming. I want to be counted amongst those who are meek. And if that means, you know, doing, being at the back, whatever the Lord calls you to do, do it and humble yourself in his sight. And that reward there is in store. But of course, we've also got Israel here, because another amazing insight in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we've got, and I'd have loved to have read all this, but it's too long. But in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we've got the land, the promised land, because God said to Abraham, he promised them the land that they would inherit. And in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord tells them all the blessings. If they obey him, they have all these blessings. But then further on, of course, in the chapter, then you've got the curses if they don't obey. And we know that God still has a plan for Israel, don't we? God still has a plan for Israel. And this is what it says. I'll just read a portion here. If I can find where I put my paper. Yes, it says here in chapter 28, verses 1 to 5, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the Lord, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and of the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." And it goes on, blessing, blessing, blessing. Has that been fulfilled? The answer is yes, partly. But when Jesus comes back, that will be fully fulfilled for Israel. And that's a prophetic scripture. That when Jesus comes back, you've got the partial fulfillment which has happened. But when Jesus comes back, and all the suffering that we have in the world, he'll settle it. And when he comes, that's the kind of blessing that Israel will enjoy. And we as the church, because we're grafted in, that is inheriting the earth. And you want to read chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. I wanted to read it all. But as I say, it is a lengthy chapter. And of course, just an interesting note is, it says, I think it's in Isaiah, about those nations that don't go up to worship before the Lord when he's on the earth, those nations that don't go up, there'll be famines. So there'll still be sort of punishments. And of course, you've got the curses that come through in Deuteronomy 28, the second half. So, and of course, when the end, because when Jesus comes back, he's going to reign for 1,000 years, then there's a final rising up against God when Satan is loosed out of the bottomless pit to try the nations once more. And then that's when there'll be the new heaven and the new earth where in righteousness dwells. And that's where we're looking forward to. And so this earth that we're in now, we're just passing by. And we do what we can for the Lord by his grace and in his spirit. And so that's pretty much what I've brought on that scripture. And can we just finish with a short prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful promise of the kingdom to come. And Lord, we ask that we might be counted worthy on that day by nothing but the blood of Jesus to be accepted in that kingdom. And Lord, help us to be humble, to be meek, to regard each other, to build each other and encourage each other. And Lord, may we honour you in doing so. And we ask that in the precious name of our Lord. Amen.